Hello, and welcome to the Heaven Bound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. We appreciate you joining us on the journey. Roger, as hard as it is to believe, this is our last Friday podcast of the year.
And if we counted right, this is number 50 that we've had this year. And we started this back in January just as a new avenue of trying to teach and encourage one another, never realizing what the year was going to be.
Yeah, this is episode 147 altogether, because we've got, of course, episodes on Mondays, Jumpstart Rewinds, Charlestown Road, this week at Charlestown Road on Wednesdays, 50 episodes just on Friday. It's been quite a journey. We've learned a lot, I think.
We sure have, and it's gotten to be something we've really looked forward to, and we've gone through a series of series, and we're in one right now, in fact, as we are talking about some things as we kind of wrap the year up here together.
Yeah, we talked about being heaven-bound in the month of January. I think one of my favorite episodes all year long came in January, where we talked about whether you're Cleveland-bound or heaven-bound, direction matters. In February, we talked about flat tires, things that can slow us down on the journey. In March, we talked about through the ages, what it looks like to be heaven-bound at different stages in life. In April, we talked about how we needed good news. Little did we know in April just how much we needed good news, right? In May, we talked about as the storm passes by, lessons that we learn as we go through storms. In June, we had a really important discussion on Fridays on the sinful choice of racism. In July, shepherding during a crisis. In August, two preachers look at the Sermon on the Mount. In September, we took a look at the last book, the book of Revelation. In October, questions Jesus asked. In November, we talked about singing with thankfulness. That's a lot of good topics. I don't know who came up with all of those.
I don't either. But and the good thing is they're not gone.
Yeah,
they're there on our website, and it'd be good to go back and revisit. Share those with some others as things come along your way, and you'll find they're good resources, and that's why we enjoy doing these things together.
I'll tell on myself just a little. If you go back and you listen to the first few episodes in January, you'll notice that Roger sounds pretty good. And for the life of me, I couldn't figure out throughout January why my voice sounded a little different. And eventually, in the context of our renovation that was going on in other parts of the building, we had a sound guy, a sound expert, who came through here. And he came in and looked at our little podcast studio, and he looked at my microphone and kind of grinned a little. And then with this wry smile on his face, he said, "Do you know that's upside down?" For an entire month, I was talking into the back of the microphone. So we've learned a lot of things along the way.
It has been a journey. It has been a journey. And so we are in a series now about Plan B. We talked about this last week, what you learn when Plan A doesn't work out, and how to adjust, because oftentimes we set out, as we had in 2020, I'm going to do this, and this is going to happen, and COVID changed all of that and canceled lots of stuff. And we were faced with Plan B. And that's true of life. That happens to a lot of us, that what we dreamed of, what we planned, just didn't work out. And so we're going to go back to that and kind of wrap that up. And today we want to talk about lessons we learn from Plan B. When things have not worked out the way they have, They can make us bitter and complain, or we can have learned some great lessons from that. And that's where we want to kind of begin today.
Yeah, we see lots of examples of that in Scripture. Joseph is a great example in the latter chapters of Genesis. You talk about a plan B. I mean, he grows up as one of the youngest sons of a great patriarch of faith, and of course is sold into slavery, ends up in the house of Potiphar, and for a while that looks like it's going to be plan B, only to have plan C unfold by getting thrown in prison, and eventually plan D, where he is elevated to second in command, essentially, in Egypt. And over the course of years, that perspective broadens. He begins to see things that he couldn't have imagined as a teenager. And we hear that great summary that he makes to his scared brothers in Genesis 50, that you may have meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Listen to this language, to bring about the salvation of many. I may be confused as to why I'm living in plan B. I may be frustrated, but who knows what God Almighty is bringing about through the circumstances
around. And in that Joseph story, we remember that time when he was in prison with those two other men, and one of them got out, and he was going to tell, and Joseph thought he was going to get out.
Yeah.
And you can just imagine day after day, just dreaming. You know, today's the day when I get out. And the guy fell through on his promise, and he was stuck in that prison. And that happens. People make promises and they don't keep them. We have dreams that do not come about, and that can just shatter our world. And for some people, that's all it takes. And as Jesus would say in Matthew 7, when the storm comes and that house collapsed because it was built upon sand and not upon the rock. So let's talk about lessons we learn from plan B. And I think a great place to start is in the book of James, chapter 1, where James says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect results so that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing." Now, James is not saying that testing of our faith is just a wonderful experience, but it leads us places. That's why he's saying it produces things. It itself is not the end of the journey. And what happens sometimes in life when we have plan B rather than plan A is that there's lessons we learned. We see things we never thought of when we were living in plan A, and it helps us grow and become stronger, and we actually become better people because of plan B rather than plan A.
Yeah, there are few of us, I'm afraid, who realize the truth of Jeremiah 10. When things are going exactly the way that we want them to, and we've never had to pivot away from our plan A, it is in adversity oftentimes that we learn the truth. And it's good truth for us, right? It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Sometimes when life is going exactly the way that I want it, I get, you know, I can remember growing up hearing this phrase, too big for my britches, right? And we can get too big spiritually, too big as far as our attitude is concerned. And there's a reason that we are warned throughout Scripture that pride goes before a fall. Sometimes getting knocked off of our pedestal is the best thing that can happen to us long term.
And I think this is a reality for so many college students.
Yeah.
So many of us, myself included, you start off that freshman year, I'm going to study this, this is going to be my major, I'm going to get this job, dot, dot, dot. And about the third of the way through, they switch majors. My mind's changed. I don't like this. I don't want to follow science. I want to be this. And they switch. And they've gone from plan A to plan B. And that happens. It's just not good when it happens the last semester of the senior year. That's bad news when that happens that way, but sometimes it does. And so one of the lessons we ought to learn from this year and from Plan B in life is that we got to keep going. We've got to keep going. There's been a lot of adjustments this year. You've had to have work at home. You've had school at home. For some, we've worshiped at home. For some, we're still worshiping at home. And that can just disrupt life. It's not the way that we want it to be, but we got to keep on going. We realize that COVID does not stop God. And what God wants of his people, what God wants of us, continues to go on.
I think the blessing of each other in cheering each other on to keep pressing on. That has been one of the lessons that I hope to really hold on to from 2020. I have had more people be an encouragement to me, to cheer me on, to keep going more in 2020, I think, than any year that I ever have. And so it is not simply that, well, okay, I need to pull up my bootstraps and I've got to do this all on my own. Even as we recognize, okay, it's not in me to direct my own steps. God is walking with me, but I've got to keep pressing on. I think one of the great lessons of this year is we're not running that race alone.
No, and I think a good example of this in our scriptures is going to Acts chapter 8, when we read about those early disciples in Jerusalem. Saul of Tarsus was beaten down on them real heavy. And in verse 4 of Acts 8 says, therefore, those who have been scattered went about preaching the word. They scattered. They could not be together because of the persecution, and it wasn't the plans that they had. And you jump several chapters in the book of Acts to chapter 11, and the story picks up in verse 19, Acts 11:19. So then those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen, that's Acts 8, made their way to Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except the Jews alone. And what happened is God wanted the kingdom to go into all the world. The avenue that traveled on was persecution. And who would have ever thought that? I mean, if you and I were making this up, we would have big campaign managers, we would have promotional, we'd have big media, we'd have all this stuff. That's not the way it was. It was a plan B, but that gospel got spread that way.
And right there in that context, you read about the power of encouragement, right? You've got Barnabas, a son of encouragement, who welcomes Saul, the former persecutor, when no one else was, and they together for a whole year meet with the disciples, the church there in Antioch. And in fact, in Antioch is where disciples were first called Christians. Who would have guessed that that is where Plan B would lead? This is one of the great benefits of reading the Bible. God has preserved case study after case study. He knows what he's doing. He needs us to be those lights in the world.
And I don't think any of this caught God off guard. No. I think all this was by his design and by his plan. And for those disciples who were living it back then, they didn't know it. They don't see the plan, as you and I don't often see it. We know what God wants from us and what we're supposed to do, but we don't know, okay, because of 2020, this is going to lead to this, and this is going to lead to that. But that's some of the good when we follow what God wants us to do and keep going on as God wants us to. I think a second great lesson out of this year has been the value of faith. How important our personal faith is. It's real easy to when we're meeting together at church building, to kind of lean on each other's faith. And the preacher's going to get me through this, or the elders are going to get me through this, or we're just kind of lean on each other. We've been alone a lot this year. And sometimes we've been isolated and not been able to see each other. And it's made us really look within and say, what do I believe? And is my faith built upon that rock, or is it built upon that sand?
I think as our faith grows, hopefully we take fewer and fewer blessings for granted, right? I would like to think that one of the things we all carry from 2020 is not to take the blessing of our assembling together for granted ever again. I mean, as you and I were planning to launch a podcast this time last year, we could not possibly conceive that this would be an avenue whereby you and I could talk in people's homes via smart speakers or cell phones or whatever it is in the midst of a time when we couldn't gather in the church building the way that we had always done.
And you know, I think, again, the blessing of God looking back for us is that we had this all set up late last year.
Yeah.
We'd kind of launched some of the stuff early in January before the pandemic actually hit. And when things were really shutting down, we already had the system going.
Yeah.
I mean, we were in the groove, and we had to do a few from our homes. I think there's a few times we did it from our bedroom closets.
We did.
You know, talking on our phone. It wasn't the best situations, but we made it work. And, you know, it wasn't like at the very, in the midst of the storm, we were kind of taping things together. We had a system going. And who would have thought way back then that, boy, this is going to be a part of the lifeline we need. But God knows. God knows. And God helps us with that. And I think another lesson to come out of this year that's so important, I think you've kind of mentioned this already, Jason, is just the value of others.
Yeah.
You know, alone, but we're not alone. Isolated, but we have a fellowship. And the number of cards, the number of texts and phone calls and emails, it's just been enormous this year. And then the times we have been able to get together, boy, what a joyous occasion it is. I've heard from so many that that the first time they came back, there were tears in their eyes. I mean, it just, nothing had really changed. I mean, we are same church building, same worship, same songs, but we hadn't been able to do it. And now we were back. And that makes me think about times when, for instance, the people of Judah left Babylon. They got to go back to Jerusalem for the first time. And some of them probably thought they would never, ever see that city again. And they got to see it again. Well, what a joyous, joyous occasion that was. And again, it's not the building. It's not the location. It's the people. And that makes the church. That makes our fellowship. And we've seen how important that is. Jason and I have seen through this process that there's been a host of people behind the scenes that a lot of our listeners don't even know about, but they push buttons and they turn things on, and we stand behind a mic and we talk, but they make it possible for us. They just a wonderful team, a group of shepherds that had the foresight to arrange some things and to help us and to guide us through this. It just shows us that even though we've been alone, we haven't been alone. What a blessing that is.
Yeah, and I would encourage our podcast audience here at the end of the year, for many of us, the last couple weeks of the year dramatically slow down, and we have fewer maybe outside responsibilities. Take advantage of this time. I hope that it has come through loud and clear over the course of the last few months in our lives what your encouragement has meant to us. But let's make the most of these last couple of weeks of the year. You don't have to be a millionaire in order to have a profound impact on the life of someone else. Do not underestimate the profound power of just a simple note of appreciation. It takes you 15 minutes to handwrite it and put a stamp on it and drop it in the mailbox. But who knows, here at the end of this year, if that lands in somebody's mailbox, whether or not that's coming at just the right time. It doesn't take a tremendous amount of time to send a text, to make a phone call. Realize that there are brethren, members of your church family, who maybe have not heard your voice in months. But to pick up the phone and to hear your voice, and just to have that time of conversation where you catch up and ask them how they are and share with them about your life, let's make good use of the last few days of this year.
just this past week, I hopped in the hospital to see somebody that's very, very ill. And as soon as I walked in, their face just lit up with the biggest smile. Wow. And again, social distancing, sometimes you can't do that. Sometimes you can. But those little droplets of sunshine, boy, they make the difference. And to what Jason said, I'd also have you look beyond. It's so obvious to think, okay, I'm going to do this to my preacher, do it to my elders. And that's good. They need to hear from that. But think about others.
Yeah.
Think about that widow who's by herself at the holiday time. Think about that young college student who college has been so different for them this year, and it's been a struggle for them. Think about the school teachers in your congregation and how difficult it's been for them this year. There's been so many people. You got doctors and nurses within your congregation, and this has really been a challenge for a lot of them. Just layer after layer of different people that you can just say, hey, I was thinking about you today, and I just want to let you know that you're loved. And that's all you have to say. And what a difference that will make. And again, the good that we can do from all these things.
It is a blessing to be able to live in the context of Plan B. And I think that would be the last thing that I would add to this little two-part series, that in the moment it can be frustrating, but how thankful we ought to be that God knows exactly what he's doing. 2020 has been a hard year for a lot of people. 2020 hasn't been a hard year for God. God knows what he's doing. It's our responsibility to trust him and to do what we can to be a help and encouragement to the people around us.
And in reality, most of us are living Plan B.
Yeah.
Most of us didn't start off in life thinking, well, you know what, I'm going to be a Christian someday. A lot of us start off just say, hey, I'm going to go to college, get this, do this, do this, do this. And God wasn't really in the picture. But someone introduced him to us. Our eyes were opened. And we realized we need Jesus Christ. And we made a big change in our life, a big direction change. And that has become the Plan B, which is really the best plan there could be for us. And where would we be today had it not been for God?
Yeah.
And we need to be thankful for that.
Yeah. 147 episodes. That's a lot of talking, but it has been a blessing to me, and we appreciate you letting us know how much of a blessing it has been to you. Lord willing, we'll have a couple of more Monday and Wednesday episodes this year, but as we mentioned, this is our last Friday episode in 2020. We've just called it Season 1, and Lord willing, Season 2. We'll kick off 2 weeks from today. We're actually going to have some brand new content on Friday, January the 1st. A lot of things that haven't gone as planned in 2020, but we've got a lot of exciting plans, Lord willing, for 2021.
And if they don't happen, we'll be in Plan B.
Plan B, Plan C, whatever it is. Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. We hope that it's helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for the journey. Always remember, as we've said 50 times this year on Fridays, when you're walking with Jesus, you're heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.